The Jaguars went up north and handled business against the NFC's powerhouse Minnesota Vikings with a final score of 14-10. However, don't let the score paint the picture for what the game was. We'll do that for you on this podcast. Anyway, this is a brand new episode of Locked On Jaguars, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. And I am your host, Chris Thornton. You can find me on Twitter at MistoCrisofo. And you can, of course, follow the show on Twitter and Facebook at Locked On Jaguars for both of them. But the Jaguars went into Minnesota, and both teams had a rough, kind of shaky start to the game for both sides. We'll kind of dive into the numbers a little bit later into the show, as well as some key quotes and things that were said about the just by Marone and other things like that. But we're just going to do kind of a quick recap of the game, and it really started, like I said, it started slow for both sides of the ball, or for both, not both sides of the ball, both teams. Kirk Cousins would stay in for about two or three drives, and he would finish the day with a completion to attempt of 3-8 for 12 yards. So, not a great day by any means for Kirk Cousins. Actually, both of his drives were able to get close to scoring range. One, they kicked a field goal due to the sole fact that the Jaguars were penalized a big amount yesterday. Just an unexcusable amount of penalties. To be fair, the refereeing, I don't believe, was that great yesterday. A lot of calls that, if they continue in the regular season, will have fans across the NFL in arms, especially the new lowering the helmet, which was called poorly on both sides. It was just a nightmare out there. Trying to find the number up here, guys. The Jaguars were penalized 13 times yesterday for a total of 140 yards. And if you don't know that's a lot. That was almost more than the Jaguars' entire offensive yards, really. They had 183 net passing yards and 100 yards rushing. So they were just under, you know, I mean, it was about half. But still, you don't want your penalty yardage to be half of what your offensive gain is. But anyway, like I said, if you didn't watch the game, you didn't miss much. It was a snoozer, especially towards the end. The final play was kind of interesting. Well, final Vikings offensive play, because the Jaguars, we'll just go through the scoring summary. In the first quarter, after the teams kind of handed it off due to lack of movement, Vikings kicker Kai Forbath opened up the scoring with a 44-yard field goal to give the Vikings a 3-0 lead. Then the following drive, the Jaguars would come out and Blake throws an interception to safety Harrison Smith, which was a really bad throw on Blake's behalf. Blake would come out and say it was a bad play, bad throw, shouldn't have done it, and he shouldn't have. But Marone called the Harrison Smith interception a really good play. Obviously not for our guys, but for him. He said, Marone said, and quote, "We had an in-breaking route coming deep. The backside safety came down, so we didn't really see him. Those are tough situations. Obviously, we worked to get better at it. Give them, the Vikings, credit. It was a good job. We didn't see the backside safety coming down, and he ended up getting the pick." If you look at the interception, it looked like D.D. Westbrook might have slipped on his route, too. I'll have to go back and really watch that one a little closer. But all in all, it was not a good play by Blake. It just kind of watching it, just throws it right to Harrison Smith, who's breaking it on the route. And the Vikings get the ball back. However, the very next play, the Jaguars' defense forces a fumble. And the Jaguars recover. I believe it was, I'm trying to find who forced that fumble. I believe it was Malik Jackson or somebody. somebody on that defensive line, but I'm pretty sure Calais Campbell either recovered it or forced it, and then Ngakoue recovered it or something like that. Anyway, the defensive line forces a fumble the very next play after the Jaguars throw an interception, which leads to a very nice 70-yard drive by the Jaguars offense. And the Jaguars would not disappoint. It's third and goal from about, I think it was following a sack, so like the 14-yard line, something like that. Blake Bortles scrambles on third down, gets it to the 1-yard line, which then leaves a fourth and goal from the 1-yard line. And the Jaguars decide to go for it going into the second quarter. And Leonard Fournette catches in on a 1-yard touchdown run, which would lead to center Brandon Linder hurting his knee and not coming back for the rest of the game. We will come back with that in a little bit later. But Marone also has a quote on that for going for it on fourth down. And he said, this is one of his better quotes for you guys that like to keep track of Marone quotes. Following Bortles' run, his decision, no, I listen to the fans, he deadpanned, tongue firmly cheek. Of course, if it doesn't work, I'm the one who's got to answer for it. The question was that your decision to go for it on fourth down? And the entire quote isn't here, but he basically says, no, I listened to our fans. And then he looked and said, of course, it was my decision. And if it doesn't work, then I'm the one who's got to answer for it, which is a very Maroon-like quote. Following that touchdown by Leonard Fournette, we have a decent margin of time that goes by before another score happens. And the next score comes from the Minnesota Vikings in the third quarter on a Michael Boone 1-yard touchdown run. And Boone was very impressive yesterday. He had 13 attempts for 91 yards, one touchdown, and a long of 28. But that man is fast. He definitely reminds me of Corey Grant on the other side. Daniel Carlson with the kick in the third quarter to give the Vikings a 10-7 lead. And then with 8 seconds left, or 8 seconds into the fourth quarter, I guess, the Jaguars will score on a Brandon Wilds 1-yard touchdown run to give the Jaguars a 14-10 lead. So all touchdown runs were 1-yard touchdown runs, so no explosive plays for touchdowns, which is very boring from a viewing standpoint. But the Vikings' third-team offense towards the very end of the game with about minute 59 seconds left runs a 2-minute drill, gets within the Jaguars red zone, and on fourth down Todd Wash calls an all-out blitz and it works. They get Kyle Slaughter, they force a fumble on him on the all-out blitz, the Jaguars recover, and that's game over. So that is your scoring summary for the game. Josh Lambeau would be 0-for-1 with a field goal in the game. Is from 56 yards and it's just right, so nothing too worried about there. Myers probably would have shanked it 20 yards to the right. But that is the scoring summary. When we come up, we'll do kind of a full stats breakdown, and then we will dive into more quotes and stuff like that to finish out the game. Hey Jaguars fans, the NFL season is right around the corner. This season, don't sit around watching the Jaguars from home when you could be at TIAA Bank Field cheering in person thanks to Vivid Seats. They offer great prices for NFL games and all live events, and Vivid Seats is offering Locked On Jaguars listeners 10% off your first ticket order when you use our exclusive promo code Locked On. That's Locked On, all one word. This is for new customers only and good through the end of August. Preseason and regular season tickets are available right now. The Jaguars kick off their home schedule September 16th against the New England Patriots, and you can be there for all the excitement. All Vivid Seats confirmed orders are backed by a 100% guarantee. Go to vividseats.com or download the app and enter promo code LOCKEDON for 10% off your first order. The offseason is over, the NFL is back, and Vivid Seats wants to help you get to the game. Alright, so now we're in the stats portion of the podcast. looking at it, Blake Bortles 12 for 20 for 159 yards in that one interception to Harrison Smith, which was, again, a bad interception. We already mentioned Kirk Cousins. He went 3 for 8 for 12 yards. Cody Kessler was 11 for 16 for 72 yards. No touchdowns, no interceptions. He looked pretty good like he did last week. He didn't score anything, but, you know, he didn't have any turnovers or anything like that. Kyle Sloter was the best passer for the Vikings yesterday, 10 for 15 for 82 yards, and then that one fumble. And then Trevor Siemian was a clean 5 for 10 for 46 yards, zero touchdowns, zero interceptions. So the passing game for either side wasn't a very strong one. Bortles played almost, I think, 6 or 7 drives because Marone probably just wasn't content with how the penalties and everything was stacking up. Going to the rushing side of the ball, the Jaguars had 6 players record a rushing attempt. TJ Yeldon was the leading rusher with 10 attempts for 39 yards and a long of 17. Brandon Wilds had 8 attempts for 32 yards and that 1 yard touchdown. He had a long of 9. Blake Bortles had the one scramble on 3rd and goal in the red zone for 14 yards, and that was his long. Leonard Fournette had 8 carries for 12 yards and a touchdown. His longest was 6. But Fournette, I believe, had a few negated due to penalty, but I have to go back. Corey Grant had 1 attempt for 4 yards and a long of 4, which was kind of shocking because Grant did not get a whole lot of time in yesterday's game. And then Cody Kessler had 1 attempt for a negative 1 yards and an interception. I believe that was the kneel down. So that was the rushing for the Jaguars. Wasn't a strong performance from really anybody. And then you go to the Vikings side of the ball, and Mike Boone was the leading rusher for either side in the game. The 23-yard running back for the Minnesota Vikings. He had 13 attempts for 91 yards, a touchdown, and a long of 26. Then you had Rock Thomas come in. He had 5 attempts for 25 yards. He had a long of 15. And Latavius Murray was 6 for 12 and a long of 11. He had a nice run in the first or second quarter, leaped over the line. And then I believe Ronnie Harrison forced a fumble on him on that play. Harrison looked good. We'll talk about that in the third segment about players who kind of shined in this game, players who didn't really show up. Receiving, this is where TJ Yeldon came in. TJ Yeldon had 5 receptions for 73 yards and a long of 29 yards. A lot of screen passes, and they were working really well. I'll just go through kind of the popular names here. James O'Shaughnessy, 1 reception, 29 yards. Dante Moncrief, 2 receptions, 23 yards. Marquise Lee, 2 for 19. Niles Paul, 2 for 18. Fournette, 2 for 17. Grant, 1 for 15. DJ Chark, 2 for 10. Shane Wynn, 2 for 10. Brandon Wilds, 2 for 7. Westbrook and Green, 1 for 6 and 1 for 4, respectively. And then on the Vikings side of the ball, Caleb Jones, 2 for 23. Jake Winicky, a guy that I wanted in the draft, he went 3 for 21. And then Chad Beebe, 1 for 14. Jeff Bidet, 1 for 13. Tavares King, 1 for 13. Rock Thomas, 2 for 12. Conklin, 1 for 10. Hops, 1 for 9. Laquan Treadwell, 2 for 8. Morgan, 1 for 7. Robertson, 1 for 5. Ham, 1 for 4. And Mike Boone, 1 for 1. So, receiving, since the passing game wasn't that strong, was fairly kind of evenly distributed. Screen passes kind of were the best for the Jaguars, and then the Vikings kind of were able to spread it a little more between their 3 quarterbacks throughout the game. Fumbles, James O'Shaughnessy had 1 fumble, but it wasn't lost. I believe it went out of bounds. Same with TJ Yeldon. Blair Brown and Calais Campbell both had recovered fumbles, so that Campbell must have recovered the one earlier in the game. Ronnie Harrison forced a fumble. It doesn't have that stat on here, but he forced a fumble. Harrison looked really good. Then going to the other side, Latavius Murray had 2 fumbles, 1 lost. Kyle Sloter, 1 fumble, 1 lost. And then Compton had a fumble recovery. Kicking was Lambeau only had one field goal attempt, and he missed that from 56 yards, but he was perfect on extra points. Kai Forbath was 1-for-2 on field goals with a long of 44. He missed his just to the right as well. And then rookie kicker Daniel Carlson had one extra point. Punting, Logan Cook was pretty good. Could have had a better day. Had 7 punts yesterday, an average of 38 yards. He had 3 inside the 20 and a long of 56. And then Ryan Quigley was 7 punts, 32.3 yards, 3 in the 20 and a long of 54. And then special teams player of the game would probably be Rashad Green. He only had 1 punt return, but it was for 56 yards, which put the Jags in the red zone. Put him within the 5-yard line, which led to that Brandon Wilds 1-yard touchdown run. And that is basically the key stats. I probably said way more than I should have really on these stats because it wasn't all that eventful. But when we come back, I will talk about some of the players of the game. All right, so this game didn't really have a whole lot to be excited for. However, rookie safety Ronnie Harrison did get the start yesterday, and he performed so much better than he did in week one. Harrison was probably easily one of the better teams on the defense yesterday. Tied for the lead in tackles. Actually, he led in tackles. He had 4 tackles and 1 assisted tackle. He had the forced fumble. He looked really good in coverage. If there's any indication of yesterday, Yannick Ngakoue is going to have a very, very strong season this year. Like I predicted on Twitter, I'm saying 16-plus sacks. He might have way more than that. We'll see. But Yannick had a very, very strong day yesterday. Those are probably two of the best defensive players, Yannick and Harrison. Yannick, obviously, a starter. Harrison could be a starter by the end of the year, depending on how safety play and injuries play out. But definitely a guy to be excited for in the season and in the future. Blake Bortles, like we talked about, had a very rough start to the game, but he was able to kind of flip that switch, turn around, get the scoring drive, and then he was done for the day. Yeldon looks so much better. Marone said yesterday that this is the best TJ Yeldon has looked since he's known him, which they've been together all 4 years since TJ Yeldon has joined the Jaguars when he was drafted in the 2nd round. So that's very positive to see. Yeldon was a king in screen passes yesterday. I believe all of his receiving yardage coming from that. So he had almost 100 yards, 73 in screenplay yards. So that's something to definitely look for in Nathaniel Hackett offense coming this season. And then now we just have some notables from Jaguars.com. Brandon Leonard sustained a first quarter knee injury that Marone said wasn't thought to be serious. Guard Chris Reed and Don Carey also left with injuries. Reed with a knee and Carey with a hamstring. Marone has not heard from anyone that was hurt yesterday if they would miss extensive time. We probably would have heard right now. We're still waiting to see Andrew Norwell, but the Jaguars offensive line early was Cam Robinson, who struggled yesterday. I won't sugarcoat it. Cam Robinson had a bad day yesterday against the Vikings defense, which is understandable, but even second strings, he was kind of getting torched. So that's something to definitely look at, hopefully see if he improves. Left guard Chris Reed, center Tyler Shatley, right guard AJ Cann, and right tackle Josh Wells, who also was not good. The tackle play was just not good yesterday. But Bortles said yesterday, it's tough because you don't ever want to see anybody get hurt in the preseason, especially guys you expect to be your starters. The guys who have stepped in have done a good job. But Bortles was sacked twice yesterday and was voiding a pressure on other occasions. Marone on the Jaguars, 13 penalties for 140 yards. You look at them and try to make sure you do a better job with them. I think we all know if we do that, the odds are we're not going to win on getting 13 penalties for 140 yards. Jaguars rookie safety Ronnie Harrison drew praise from Marone and teammates yesterday after starting for free safety Tayshawn Gibson. He played good, said Barry Church. He had to jump in quick and learn fast, but he was able to do good. He had a couple of solid tackles, and his communication between me and him was on point. He did a good job out there. Marone said Harrison was out, was told he was starting during pregame warmups. Tiga made the decision to hold him out and not to take a chance. Marin said, all of a sudden, we walk in the locker room and tell the kid, you're ready to start. You'll be our free safety. We'll look at it, but go in there and have some good hits and be ready to go. That's the one thing I was asking for. If he was going to be ready to go, that's a tough situation. It's like if you're a pitcher and you don't think you're going to pitch all day and all of a sudden, you're up. So Harrison getting praise from fellow teammates and Marone is a good sign. Marone, or like I said earlier, Harrison looked really good going into the game. And that will just about do it for this Vikings recap. We didn't have a whole lot to look at in the game yesterday. If you watched yesterday, you'll notice that the all-white uniforms, very clean. The new uniforms are so good. But this upcoming week, we will be previewing and going over everything you need to know about the Week 3 matchup here in Duval against the Atlanta Falcons, where Ramsey returns on Monday. Dante Fowler returns on Monday, and we will give you all the matchups and stuff that you need to be looking forward to later this week on Locked On Jaguars. So be sure to subscribe, leave ratings for us on iTunes. You can find us on Spotify, Google Play Store, Speaker.fm, Megaphone, iTunes, all those places that you can stream podcasts. You can probably find us there. Be sure to follow the Locked On Jaguars page on Twitter and Facebook, as well as check out LockedOnJaguars.com, where we're constantly putting out pieces for you guys. And like I said, make sure to leave reviews. That way we pop up for all your fellow Jaguars fans. Be sure to tell a fan if they're looking for a podcast, they got a long road trip, to check out Locked On Jaguars. We really appreciate it. We will get back to you guys later this week with some more content on the Atlanta Falcons Jaguars preseason game number 3.